Hi, welcome to the Let's K-12 Better podcast. This podcast is a project between me, mom of all capes, and my kids.
Hi!
In our podcast, we will cover a variety of subjects involving K-12 education and family life.
We will talk about the ways that parents, kids, and educators can improve K-12 education and family life.
Hit subscribe to get alerts when new episodes drop and follow us on social media at Let's K-12 Better.
Let's jump into Season 3, Episode 1 of the Let's K-12 Better podcast. Yes! What? All right. Welcome back to Season 3 of the Let's K-12 Better podcast. We are so excited to be back.
What?
It's been so long, guys. So we just want to welcome our new listeners. Welcome back to the fam who's been with us since season one.
Since the first episode.
Welcome back to the folks who jumped on season two. This show is a family-friendly and educator-friendly, non-watered-down discussion cast. We will keep it the only way we know how, and that is
real and awesome and fun, guys.
All right, real awesome and fun.
Yeah.
I love it. We also just talk about, like, all kinds of topics here. We interview experts, right, guys? In the past two seasons, who are some folks that we've interviewed that you were like, yes?
Kishana Gray.
Miss Yuritsa.
Okay. Dr. Like- Kishana Gray, Miss Yuritsa. All right, we'll tag these episodes that we're recommending here. I think it's intersectional tech, and it's also What's Your Why with Yuritsa Vijalba. So, yeah, those are two really great episodes.
That Kishana Gray episode.
Yeah, that Kishana Gray episode. Yes. So, you know, and then we've also interviewed countless other folks who have brought amazing expertise and opinions to our podcast. You know, shout out to Dr. Mena Demise. Yeah. Shout out to Larissa Lamb and Baldwin Chu. Shout out to Carolee Nakatsuka and, you know, Dr. Katie Parada. Like, there's just Dr. Kat Schreer, like Dr. Lindsay Portnoy. Shout out to... Right, like there's so many folks who, and if we didn't say your name, doesn't mean that we don't love you. We're literally just riffing.
You're awesome, bro.
You guys are awesome.
You are awesome.
Keep getting on that Sigma grind.
Yes, and we will say that we have tons of other folks lined up who have amazing perspectives to share on the podcast with us and amazing things to say. You're absolutely right. We do encourage you to go back to seasons 1 and 2 and check out all the wisdom that has been shared thus far. Yes, as you do that, please make sure you are fully vaccinated and boosted if you can to protect those in your lives. We do want to say that we are not quite out of this pandemic yet, though we are so close, people. Let's go.
Let's get through it.
Yeah, let's get through it. So it's, and we do want to say being in the pandemic is what pushed us to start this podcast. Because, you know, secretly, I have always wanted to have a podcast. I've drugged the kids into this willingly and unwillingly at times. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at me like, can we not say that? So anyway, but, you know, COVID-19 was the reason why we have this podcast. So we do want to just remind everyone that this is endemic. We're going to be living with this for a while. So please take care of those that you love. For us, it's been a wild 6 weeks because season 2 ended at the end of December. And now here we are in February, which is what? What is February, guys?
Black History Month.
AKA the best month of the year.
All right.
In December.
Yes.
December is the best month.
Okay. All right. Cool. The coughing is
pretty biased.
So anyway, so it's Black History Month. We didn't make new resources this year, but we definitely want everyone to please check out our episodes in season 2 that are specific to Black History Month. Although we talk about Black history and blackness and everything because we are black and proud.
Yes.
So Black History Month season 2 episode and also the Let's Talk About Blackface episode two very critical family-friendly, educator-friendly episodes to dip your toe into important topics during the season. Also, take a look at our Black History Month toolkit. It's at momofallcapes.com.
It was made last year, but it's extremely relevant every year.
Exactly. And it's relevant all the time. So please check it out on the toolkit drop-down tab. We will link that in the show notes as well. Okay, we're changing things up a little bit, but we're keeping a lot of stuff the same. So we're going to jump into it. You'll probably notice that, you know, we've changed up the show. We have some awesome guests lined up, like we said, but we're also going to sprinkle in a little bit more family discussions where appropriate. Folks said that they love that about our show. So we hope that you enjoy this year's journey with us. You are with us on this journey. You can't stop now. We also have community letters. So what's on your mind? We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But please make sure, check that link out. If you have something that's on your mind, share that with us. It might end up in our show as we discuss various topics. All right, let's get into our next segment on family discussions about current events. All right, let's get started. This is the family discussion on current events. In this segment, we will talk about things that we've seen in the news or things that we've read, whether they're opinion pieces, op-eds, actual news pieces,
articles,
all of those kinds of things will come up in this section. Speaking about current events is a really important part of media and news literacy. So these guys, just so that everyone knows, are in the middle school range, right? So this is a great time to practice, right, what it means to be media literate. Okay, so I'm going to ask Soph first before she talks about her article. I think you're right. I should ask all y'all about what it means to be media literate.
No.
What is news and media literacy?
I think that news and media literacy is when you're able to not only read or learn from a informational text, but to be able to comprehend and output that information by yourself.
Media literacy actually means technically seeing if news is fake and being able to comprehend if a source that you're reading news from is actually a good source.
You said that news and media literacy is all about comprehending what you have read. And you said that news and media literacy is all about the ability to see if a source is reputable or what you're reading is true. And both answers are correct, right? And so how should families practice news and media literacy?
By looking at current events and having discussions about them and what they mean in different situations or in the situation specifically in the piece of media.
Mm-hmm. By playing actually this iCivics game that literally teaches you about media literacy and how to, it's basically the same thing I said, how to find out if a source is good or not.
Okay.
So you should just play that game.
All right. Shout out to iCivics. Shout out to my former job, Newsfeed Defenders. We're going to give that some love because we know the folks who
in the show notes
made that game. In the show notes. We'll add that in the show notes. All right. So now that we've established what news and media literacy is, also check out Namely. They have some really great resources for teaching and learning about news and media literacy. So we will add those in the show notes. Shout out to those guys too. So we're going to have discussions about current events, which will give us practice for news and media literacy. Sophia, you read, let me see here. All right. You read 5 Ways Young People Are Using Discord. What publication is this in?
The New York Times.
And who is it by?
The New York Times.
Kellen Browning.
Where does it say all this information?
Oh my God. So here's all right. Hold on, pause. This is great. And this is going to stay in the show. when you look at an article, you're looking at the title, you're looking at who it's by, and you're looking at what publication it's in. So this article's title is 5 Ways Young People Are Using Discord. It is by Kellen Browning, and it is in the New York Times. That is the publication. So 3 important things that we want to make sure we focus on. We often, as adults, take that for granted. We just read all 3 of the pieces of information like, oh, well, I know this is where it is. This is who wrote it. This is the title. But having to stop and think about it is actually a good thing. All right. Tell me what you read. You're not going to read the whole article. Let's summarize the article.
Basically, it's talking about the safety and the complications about Discord.
Okay. And what is Discord for those of our listeners who don't know what Discord is?
Discord is like a chatting. It's like a chatting app where people can share their ideas.
Okay. All right. Okay. Your sisters are saying that it's not. Their mics aren't on. So, like, you know, what is Discord?
Discord is basically a social platform that you can use that has different servers and different channels and different groups where you can connect with other people.
Okay. All right. Awesome. And what else is Discord?
It's actually mostly for gaming and school and work groups.
Okay. All right. So that's how y'all are using Discord. And that's how you guys have said Discord is established. So back to Sophia, who read this article. What did the article tell you about the 5 ways that young people are using Discord?
What I learned from this article is that there's not just one community on Discord. There's a variety of people and communities.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And also, you're a little young for Discord. So that's really interesting that you have learned that. That's awesome. Okay, cool. My next question is, what vantage point is the article coming from? Like, what is the goal of this article?
The goal is basically to inform the readers about how, like, what Discord is about and how it affects other people.
Okay. All right. And then my last question is, why should adults who are caregivers, parents, or even educators, why should they care about this topic?
Because this is like how kids are interacting with each other in the 21st century.
Okay. All right. Cool. Kids are interacting with each other on Discord. And maybe some parents don't know that, right? Like maybe they don't know that their kids are using this platform. So it's an opportunity for them to do what after they read? What should parents do after they read the article?
Ask their children.
Right. Like, what's going on, bro? How are you using this platform? What's happening there?
Is it for gaming? Is it for communicating with other children?
Absolutely. And it's all a part of media literacy. It's also a part of digital citizenship and just teaching kids how to engage with each other online, right? The more parents understand technological platforms, the more equipped they are to be able to support kids in these spaces. All right, cool. Glad you read it. Also, who do you want to give a shout out to?
I want to give a shout out to my sister, Naima.
Yeah, she's actually quoted in this article, so yeah. Go her. Hey, we'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah.
All right, Naima, you read Police Arrest Protesters Who Remained at U.S.-Canada Bridge. So author of this article, where is this located? Tell me.
So of course it's going to be in the show notes, just like the rest of the stuff we're mentioning. But basically, this was an article by AP News. And the authors were Rob Gillies and Corey Williams. The meat and cheese of the article is that there is a bridge that's kind of like a border between Canada and the U.S. And there are like some like riots and not so peaceful protests surrounding that area.
What is the root of these protests? What is it around?
The root of these protests is kind of around how they kind of closed off this border.
So you're right. In this article, they're talking about closing down of this bridge. If folks have been following this last couple weeks, you know, there have been tons of protests around vaccine mandates. And we highly encourage folks to read the backstory of where this stemmed from. So her story that she read is an addition, or what would be called, like, you know, breaking news, more information. We just opened this article, more information about what's developing in a larger story, which is another part of media literacy, right? Where the little part that you're reading may not be the whole story. It may be just a small part or a medium-sized part of a grander, larger story that's happening. All right. So we do want to acknowledge that. So thank you so much for saying that. So talk a little bit more about what's happening.
Basically, in this article, it's like they closed off the border between like the US and Canada, which also closes up the border to some other places because of the vaccine mandates and like other stuff, and like just for general safety. And people started basically protesting because of it, and it got like, it kind of turned into like a riot of sorts. So yeah.
Okay, all right. So we are here in the thick of it, right?
The thick
folks
of it.
Are upset about these vaccine mandates. Truckers are involved. Again, we encourage folks to read up on the larger part of the story. The thing that I want to ask you is, what did you learn from this article?
I kind of learned that in situations, like in different situations, or depending on your viewpoint, you might think of this very differently. Like from what I read, was very unbiased. And like, I was thinking about it, I was like, people could take this many different ways, if that makes sense.
So then, because you said that this article was unbiased, and usually the Associated Press, that's the point of the Associated Press. Like, they just, here's what's happening, y'all, right? And then folks, whether it's Fox News or CNBC or MSNBC or whatever, then craft the story around it based on the people that they interview on from their side. So then I would say, what vantage point is this article coming from?
A more informational vantage point, because it's very like unbiased, and it's not like giving a specific like viewpoint, or like telling a specific people that this is catered towards them, or like implying that. It's sort of like anyone can read this. This is just giving you information.
I really like that. Okay, so there's no call to action. There's just like, here's what's happening, y'all. Okay. All right. So my next question is, why should families and educators care about the developments that are happening in this article, or just in like, why should they care?
Because even if this isn't directly like affecting you, like even if you're not the people who like this is like, yeah, like directly affecting you, I guess, like it's still important to notice like that this is happening. And that, like, this happens not just in Canada or not just in the U.S. Like, this happens everywhere, and we just don't hear it every day.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Again, very important for all of us to think about the ways geopolitics impact our lives in large and small ways. The truckers who are protesting against vaccine mandates impact the economy, right? So there's a lot of ways that we can look at that, you know. There are lots of parts that are similar to other protests and other riots that have happened in the past, and by in the past I mean the last 2 years, ways in which also like folks are treated during protest, right, that some other folks are not, right? So thinking about how are these people treat it during their protests. So there's a lot of ways that we can critically look at this situation that brings up discussion for families, brings up discussions for classrooms that are valuable. So we encourage people to dig in a little bit more and see what is going on with Canada. One more thing I want to say is just also thinking about, you know, Canada. I've been on Twitter kind of watching this, not fully deeply engaged, I will say. But there are folks saying, this is not who we are as Canadians. And then there are folks of color who are saying, this is exactly who we are. So it looks like all of us in this moment, no matter where we are on the planet, are having these conversations about
who we are and who we want to be. So I just want to add that in there as another thought exercise for us. Okay, Garvey, you read AirTag stalking, alleged victims speak out as privacy concerns mount over new Apple tracking product. Can you tell us a little bit more about what are AirTags and like what's happening in this article?
So this is an informational text by Justin Lum, and it basically goes over, well, AirTags.
Who is the news source?
Oh, Fox 10.
Okay, all right, awesome.
So it's like Fox News.
Okay, it's a local syndication of Fox News.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, cool.
And it's actually, it's Fox News from Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
So it's not like around here, but like if you live in Arizona, it's more relevant. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is that, so basically Apple put out this product and it's called an AirTag. And you can put it on anything that you want that you don't want to lose. So say like you're on traveling and you want to put it on your briefcase so that you don't lose it, or your suitcase so you don't lose it. So that's basically what it was intended for. But people are actually using it to stalk people by putting it on their cars, putting it inside of their purses or jackets while they're out with friends or alone. And I think it's important that our audience knows this, because stalking, it's not like one target. Like everybody can be victim of stalking, and it's very scary when you're getting stalked. And you can't really prevent yourself from getting stalked. All you have to do is just know what to do if you're getting stalked, which I guess is the point of this article, to inform people on what to do if they get stalked. And yeah, do you have any follow-up questions?
All right, cool. Well, I appreciate you reading this text, and I appreciate you presenting the information so clearly. I don't really have any follow-ups. Other than, again, with technology and with media, there is a level of literacy that we all need to have in understanding what does the technology do? How does that technology not only impact us, but impact others? How do we teach people to make informed decisions, right? So if your kid has AirTags, are they using them?
Oh, actually,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so somebody who's 16 actually was getting stalked too, which is, I don't know, a lot of, I don't know, like, just if that's how young you can be to, like, accidentally stumble upon something like this. Like, you're 16. Like, you don't, you're a child still. So, yeah, I guess I want to add that, too. Somebody as young as probably 16 has spoken out about being stalked by an AirTag.
Yeah, so it's really, really important for parents and educators to understand the technology that is out there and how it is being used. So thank you so very much for bringing that article to our discussion.
In this segment, we will discuss what we've been reading, how it impacts us, or how we've been inspired.
All right, Naima, we are going to start off with you. What are you reading?
I'm reading a book called Minor Feelings, by Kathy Park Hong.
Okay. All right. So tell us just a little bit. How long have you been reading this book, first off? You done?
I'm not fully finished with the book, so I can't really tell everything about the book.
We don't want to tell everything about the book because we want folks to read it.
Well, I can't either way. But, like, yeah. I've been reading this book for a few weeks now, and I think it's a good book. It's talking about, like, the experiences as a Korean American child, or specifically as a Korean American child being a parent of Korean immigrant parents.
Okay, so being a child of Korean immigrant parents, so first generation American.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And so what are some things that stuck out in what you've read so far? You don't have to summarize it, but just a few things that stuck out, or if you have any passages.
Well, I think the things that have stuck out is that I think something I noticed is that it's kind of like culturally different from being like Korean American or just like having immigrant parents, like mm-hmm. in general. From what I've read, it's like a different experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes
sense. No, that makes perfect sense. And on our podcast, we always want people to learn about other people's first person experiences, or read, books that talk about experiences, whether that's first person or not, so fiction and nonfiction. You are not a child of immigrant parents, right? Your no. parents are both American. Well, your dad's first generation, but like, you know, I have been here since the 17 something. Okay. So like, yeah. So like my family's been here since the early 1700s.
She's been collecting dust in America collecting for quite a while.
Building America, actually. So like, you know, thinking about that, right? Like no shade, Black History Month. What? All right. So thinking about that, right? Your experience, the things that your parents bring up from their experiences are going to be quite different from what Kathy Park Hong is talking about. So can you give an example of like maybe one thing that you read that supports this?
I think like an example would be like specifically like the bullying, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is like from any like or at least most first generation like American people, like what I've heard from their experiences. It's like they get like bullied because of something they can't control, that in this case being like them being first generation Korean in America. Like I have never personally been bullied, and especially not been bullied for something I can't control, like how I was, like when I was born or who I was born to.
So then a clash of cultural experiences present in her life made her vulnerable to other people who were not having those experiences.
Yes.
Right. And because you're in the American culture as it is, right? Like you're not being singled out because your culture at home is completely different, right? Now, again, being Black or being Hispanic or being Asian or Indigenous, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, there are still different nuances that come with that, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that her family, her parents are from Korea, provides a different cultural experience and aspect that she's experiencing at home that's different from her classmates.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure I'm summing that up. I want to ask you, what is an appropriate age range to read this book? Because you're a kid, right? So, like, and I let you guys read tons of things. Not everybody's parents do, but.
I think, like, it depends on, like, who you're talking to. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I think being able to read it at my age, like, not everyone's going to read this book and comprehend it the same way I do. Mm-hmm. Like, just who you talk to on the street, like, anyone. But, like, I think, like, middle school age would be a good book to talk about this, because it's not too young where it's, like, they're just reading it and they can't really, like, yeah. like, push it forward mm-hmm. to you or, like, tell it forward to, like, other people, I guess. But, like, high school, it's, like, kind of not too old, because you're never too old, I mean. But, like, it feels like it would have been easier to have this conversation earlier. So I think middle school is a perfect time to read books like this in general. Mm. But yeah, it's you're never too old, never too young. Like, it's just like a
okay
good.
So you're saying it's a good book, so you're gonna recommend parents,
I'd say,
educators,
if,
maybe read this one.
Yeah, I'd say if like you, it's if it was something like you could read, and like I'd say like if you're a parent or something, read it yourself first to be like, this is something my child can definitely like, and then have a discussion with the child.
Why would someone like Kathy Park Hong's book be important to read at all?
Because it's providing an experience that you may or may not have like experience yourself. Like, say you have experienced something like this, it's still a good book because it's something you can relate to that's not really talked about as much. Mm-hmm. But like someone like me who hasn't experienced this, it's good to get a diverse like narrative. Mm. So that I'm not just thinking about people like me, I'm thinking about other people as well, and I can like see what they're experiencing.
I appreciate that, and I want to say that I'm not, it doesn't we are in the midst right now of states and local school boards banning books, right? Especially banning books about diverse perspectives, books written by diverse authors, right? since you're reading a book about a Korean American's experience as a first generation person who grew up in the United States, right? What do you think about book banning?
I think in any situation, banning something of like that could leave room for diversity and like inclusion of different narratives is not necessarily a good idea. Mm-hmm. This is just my opinion. Let me preface that. But
our
like,
whole podcast is an opinion.
Like, please don't come for me. But like, I don't think this is a very good idea, in my opinion, because it's basically leaving room out for other people to be able to relate to and share, like, and share and like know different experiences. That maybe they're like, I know lots of kids probably aren't reading this book like outside of school. Mm-hmm. So even having it just like 20-minute reading this book like in class or something and being able to have a discussion about it, mm-hmm, is better. Like, if you're not giving like the book, or like, you should at least be able to acknowledge that there is diversity in perspectives and, mm-hmm, not just kind of closing it off.
Okay. All right. Awesome. And what do you think about, I'm going to say, sometimes book bans, the point of book bans is to cut off the idea that diversity is strength. What do you think about that?
I think that's extremely messed up because, like, you, maybe it's like just a group of the same people, not like exactly the same people, but people in the same like range or like who are like very similar, then they're not getting that, like, they're not getting the diversity that they need to be able to have more empathy and be able to like have discussions like the one we're having now later on in life.
So can I see if I'm thinking correctly when you're saying, if you live, let's say, in a homogenous environment, whether that environment's all Black, all white, all Asian, to ban books of people who have different experiences and opinions and life things as you shuts you out from being able to communicate with empathy,
yeah,
with people who are different from you later on?
Like,
please tell me if I'm putting words in your mouth, because I do not want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, basically, like, yeah, what you're saying is right, but what I mean, like, when I'm saying like with empathy is like to be able to understand like different perspectives, mm-hmm, and like to be able to be like, maybe this is not the best idea because maybe this group is framed one way in my community, but, mm, they might be a different like way.
So allowing those people to speak through literary texts that are diverse then can combat some of the backwards ideas?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, cool. Like, this has been, yes. All right, two snaps for you. Thank you for sharing this book. We will link it in the show notes. You said that people as young as middle school could read it from your estimation. Are there any cuss words in the book or anything like that?
I think,
just to give folks a head up, you're not done, but have you read any or anything?
I, from what I can remember, I haven't come across any cuss words, all right, but like, yeah, there are like some topics and stuff. Like, I wouldn't necessarily say like that the topic is like a heavy topic. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, if you don't want to read this, don't read this. Mm-hmm. But if you do want to read this, just be cognizant, because I haven't read the full book. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's coming ahead. But if, you know, just like preface.
Check it out first. Like, adults, check it out first.
Yeah, if you're going to give this to kids, just
check it out first. All right, cool. Well, we'll link it in the show notes. Definitely recommend the adults, caretakers, and educators to read this, especially if you interact with kids who are first generation students or people in your community. Learning about this doesn't mean that now you know everything about Korean Americans or first generation people, but it does open your eyes to a new experience that you may or may not have been aware of. Also, Kathy Park Hong is a great storyteller, so we definitely hope that you enjoy that text. All right, Sophia, what are you reading?
I'm reading Push Out by Monique W. Morris.
Okay, awesome. Are you done with the book yet?
No.
Okay, so you got a little bit more to read.
Yeah.
Okay, and what is this book about?
This is about the criminalization of Black girls in schools.
Ooh, very interesting. Very, very interesting topic. What do you think so far in reading the text? What do you think about the criminalization of Black girls in schools?
I think that, so I'm not going to tell about, like, I'm going to tell about the book, but I'm not going to really give everything away. But basically, it talks about how differently they're being treated about. I have a great example, but I don't want to.
You can say it.
Basically, there's an example in the book. There's this girl, and she's really good at math and everything, but her teacher keeps, she's like, can I come to the upper grade, to the upper class? And the teacher's like, no. Mm-hmm. But to the other students, she's like, yes.
Mm. So the criminalization of Black girls then also is about the underestimating of Black girl potential?
Yes.
Mm. Okay. I want to ask you, who should read this? Like, what's appropriate? Because sometimes I have you guys read books that, you know, I read in college, and I'm like, here, you go, read this today.
To be honest, like, I think that if you're going to give this to your kids, no matter, like, I'm going to say the age group, but, like, no matter what age group, kind of like Naima, you should kind of check it out first. Mm-hmm. But I think that the age group would be, like, 12 to about maybe 16 or 14.
Okay, I would honestly disagree with you and say, like, high school and adults should read this. Not because the concepts in the book or there's anything traumatic.
Yes.
You know, but I do think that adults, whether you are raising or educating or coaching or mentoring a Black girl or not, should read this book.
Yeah.
Right? Because you are in a position of understanding society, and how society impacts the future of folks and the choices that they make. And so I would say I encourage adults to read it, right? So whether you're a parent, caregiver, teacher,
guardian,
at school administrator,
education,
whether there are Black kids or not in the school, what do you think?
I think that you should still read it, like, even if you don't raise a Black child, or any child, like, if you don't raise somebody
or teach
Black, you should still read it because that gives you an insight of what they're going through.
Mm. And it also talks about the ways in which systems can be inequitable intentionally and unintentionally.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, what are the ways in which Black girls are navigating these systems, right? Whether those systems are intended to exclude them or not exclude them, it's excluding them.
Yeah.
Right? And how do we fix that?
We can fix that by making sure that everybody is treated the same, because...
Well, does everyone need to be treated the exact same?
No, but everybody needs to be treated equally, and how, like, how they're being, like, how much effort they're giving.
Okay, so we want to give people an equal chance. So that is actually equity, not equality. So you want to give people what they need based on their situations and what they're experiencing. We want to be equal in equity, but we don't want to be equal in equality, because if I give you this and I give her that and her that, she may need two times more than that, and you may not even need it at all. So we want to make sure we are equal in our equity, but not equal in our equality. Okay. All right. Any other things that you've pulled out from Miss Monique Morris's book, Push Out?
I also got that, like, so, sorry, am I allowed to do an example?
Yeah, you can example.
So, in the book, like, they brought, so, I can't remember, because it's kind of, like, at the beginning of the book, but they brought the, like, they're, like, I forgot what they're called, but they're like police for the school.
Mm-hmm. Resource officers.
Yeah, resource officers. And they brought them in to take care of a child. And then they came in, like, and then they were like beating him up.
Mm. So we have to think about the ways in which we respond to...
And control.
Yeah, and have control. Now, we do want to say that we need to provide space for young people to learn about consequences, right? And to grow in their own social emotional learning and respect for others, right? So we're not saying anything goes.
Yeah.
But we do also want to make sure that learning environments are learning environments, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I have another question for you. You are a Black girl reading this book about the criminalization of Black girls. My first question for you is, was this traumatizing?
Not really.
Okay, cool. I just want to make that clear. The second thing I want to ask is, like, what do you think, in as you're reading these experiences, that you have not had these experiences, but people that look like you have had these experiences? You know, Miss Morris is talking about these experiences about girls like you. So what are you thinking as you're reading this text?
I'm thinking as I'm reading this text that, like, I'm thinking that, like, it's not that, so I'm kind of thinking that, like, I'm glad it's not happening to me, but I'm also feeling empathy for the people that it's happening to.
Okay. That is a human emotion. Okay. So I just want to say that that is a human emotion, and that's okay. The other thing I want to follow up with is anyone free if people are not free?
No.
So how would you use your opportunities to support others?
I would use my I would support others.
Or how can, right? Because there are a lot of people who, whether you're a Black girl or not, right, like, you may not be experiencing the criminalization of your personhood in schools, right? Mm-hmm. So how should you be thinking about that if you're not personally experiencing it?
I think that I should be thinking of it as, like, wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I have another question. If it's not happening to you, does it mean it's not existing?
That is definitely not true.
Okay. All right. Cool. I just am curious. All right. Not trying to lead you down a path, but I do want to say that I appreciate you sharing this with others. We will link Push Out by Monique Morris in the show notes. Are you giving it a thumbs up?
Yes. Yeah. It's a really good book. Like, okay. I recommend it.
Okay. Awesome. Lots of learning here. Thank you so very much for sharing.
Thank you.
All right, Garvey, last but not least, what are you reading?
So the book that I chose was A Guide to Crushing Girlhood, and it's called Feminist AF by Brittany Cooper, Chanel Craft Tanner, and Susanna Morris. And I chose this book because I think it's a really important resource for Black people who are non-binary and girls to have, because it's kind of an empowerment guide, how to deal with some tough situations you might face, like people touching your hair. And it has really important messages, and it talks about Black civil rights leaders that are not like Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King Jr., like Shirley Chisholm. So yeah.
Also, shout out to our favorite Dr. Diva, Auntie Treva, for recommending this book to you as you journey through your own, I guess, path of what do you want to call it? Like, it's not,
I guess,
advocacy, you know? All right, cool. Okay, so is it just for Black girls though?
No, but it's like targeted towards Black girls, I guess, in my opinion.
Okay.
If, like, I was another girl of color or white, it would be important for me to read it, but I wouldn't be able to relate to it as much.
Okay. And why would it be important for you to read it if you were not a Black girl?
Well, like I said, it's like an empowerment guide. So maybe that can highlight some of the problems that Black people are facing. And then you can in turn say, oh, maybe I should see how I can help by talking to my school about this or asking my Black friends if they face these problems.
So going on a learning journey if you're non-Black, and if you are Black, feeling you have, like, you have the tools to continue to push through for equality and equity. Okay, who is this book for?
I would say it's for,
like,
middle school
age range. Oh, sorry,
I would say like 12 to 17.
Okay, all right, 12 to 17. We also want to encourage parents, caregivers, and educators to also read, right? because you want to know what's going on in the mind of the young person that you are whose lives you are impacting. Anything else from? Oh wait, are you done with this? Or are you still reading it?
Done.
You're done. Okay. All right. So like, you know, would you like recommend? Yes. No. What? Yes. What? Okay. All right. Cool. 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 Anything else you want to share about this text? You're like the fastest. Like you're like, this is what it is. This is who should read it. We done.
I didn't know that was.
No, I don't have anything else.
Okay. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. We will link this awesome book
in the description,
in the show notes. So please check it out. It was recommended to us, and we are so glad that it was. All right, I'm going to talk about what I'm reading. I'm actually in a book club for Black educators. Shout out to the homies. This has been just a really amazing experience for me as a former educator, but always an educator because teaching is just my jam. I have been just so thankful because for the last year and two years, while we've been in the shelter in place situation and in the pandemic and looking at how schools have responded, I've been also keying in on how Black students have been experiencing this pandemic, how their peers have been experiencing the pandemic, so how non-Black kids have been experiencing this pandemic, and just thinking about the ways in which Black educators as well have been experiencing this pandemic. These things have been on my mind, especially with all of the racial reckoning that has also occurred during this time. And then also just thinking about how our parents, white parents, Black parents, you know, Hispanic parents, Asian parents, Indigenous parents, multi-ethnic parents, how have parents in their intersections and slices been experiencing the pandemic and connecting with their kids? That is another thing. So right now I'm talking about Black folks, and because it's Black History Month.
What?
I have been reading Fugitive Pedagogy. This book has been just amazing. So shout out to Jarvis Givens. You know, Fugitive Pedagogy is just really amazing. Fugitive Pedagogy, Carter G. Woodson and the Art of Black Teaching. There are things that I've read in this book that as a former Black educator, I'm like, I did that and did not even realize that I did that. You know, I come from a family of folks who were Black teachers. And so just thinking about the ways in which Black educators support their kids in the classroom, amazing book. Amazing shout out to Carter G. Woodson, who is the father of Black History Month, when he started the whole week off and getting us all to celebrate and think about Black history and Black culture in the time of Reconstruction, post-enslavement, and the ways that which we change the narrative around how Black people are presented, how their history is presented, not only to mainstream and white normative culture, but also to Black people themselves. And I'd also say to non-Black people of color as well, right? The way that we tell our stories is extremely important to the ways in which we experience life and have empathy for each other. So this book's amazing. I've been reading this book in concert with The Education of Blacks in the South, 1860 to 1935 by James D. Anderson. So again, these two books together, one is really focused on Carter G. Woodson. The other is focused on the ecosystem as a whole around how Black people have accumulated the knowledge necessary to build their own communities and build spaces of survival and resistance during post-enslavement, Reconstruction, Jim Crow, very hostile areas in which Black people were existing. So, because it's Black History Month, shouting out to my Black Educator Book Club. Thank you guys for supporting me and teaching me so many things. Really love reading these books. We'll be continue to read these books throughout the rest of the year, but I will share other books that I'm reading, but just wanted to highlight that for this segment. What, what? All right, normally we are going to, in this next segment, talk about our community letters. All right, so episode 2, we are launching What's on Your Mind. If you have questions, comments, an issue, or a celebration that you want to share, send it in to us and we will discuss it. We want to talk about the things you want to talk about. So, link is in the show notes to submit in our form, or you can send us an email at letsk12better@gmail.com. That's letsk12better@gmail.com. All of this information will be in the show notes. We're going to pop off season 3 with what y'all are thinking about. We want to include you in our discussion. We have a seat open at our table. Please send us your comments, questions, celebrations, and even disgruntled things. We want to talk about it. Everything will be anonymous, so we will not put you out on blast, but please share with us. All right, can't wait to discuss it next episode. We've come down to the end of our show, but before we go, we want to leave y'all with a little bit. You know, you might have remembered season 1 and 2. We usually had quotes. Right now, I'm going to ask, what do you hope for our listeners until we're with them again? What do you hope, Sophs, for our listeners?
I just hope that everybody, since this is Black History Month, I hope everybody celebrates Black history, and I hope everybody acknowledges that and does activities in school. And I hope everybody has a great month.
All right. Shout out to Black History Month. Thank you so much for that. All right, Naima, what do you hope for our listeners until the next time we are with them again? What do you hope for them?
I hope that they look into different perspectives, whether they have or have not before, and like picked up a book about a diverse perspective because, you know.
Yeah. Awesome. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. All right, Garvey, what do you hope for our listeners until we're with them again? What do you hope for them?
I hope that our listeners use Black History Month not as something like to throw away, something as like a teaching moment. The same as like Valentine's Day, not using it as like love, using it to like teach your kids more about like relationships and stuff like that, I guess. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Thank you so much. So teachable moments, everybody. Teachable moments. All right. What I hope for our listeners until we are together again, I just hope that you guys are practicing self-care. I hope that you guys are getting the rest that you need. I hope that you are experiencing love and that you feel appreciated in every space you inhabit. I also hope that you take time out of your day to acknowledge the existence of a person with a different perspective than yours and a different experience than yours. And I also hope that you send us your thoughts so that we can talk about them and what's on your mind. All right, everybody, please take care until we are together again.
Thank you for listening to the Let's K-12 Better podcast.
You made it to the end. Please like, subscribe, and share.
We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media at Let's K-12 Better on all social media platforms. Or connect with me on Twitter, Instagram, and Clubhouse at Mom of All Capes. The Let's K-12 Better podcast is available on every podcasting platform. So if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate and review our podcast. This is a family project, and your feedback helps us grow. Thank you so much for listening.
See you next time.